So it's 5, 4, 3, 2. Welcome to Flowing with Famous, your all Fresno podcast. This is Joshua Teehee, aka Famous Whitewater. With me, as always, Mike C, the man behind the Dorktown Network of podcasts. Round of applause for Dorktown.
Yeah. Yay, Dorktown Network. Dorktown.
And in the studio with we have two of, and I don't say this lightly, my favorite Fresnans. And they're going to be talking about a wonderful event that they have coming up here in the not so near future. So why don't you introduce yourselves? And that'll save us the hassle.
It's a hassle.
Hey. Hello, I am Brian Harley.
I am Rocky Rodriguez, and
together,
we do stuff.
Dumb Drum and Sweet Fest.
And for those who are listening and don't know about either of those things, I don't think that's actually possible that we have a listener to this podcast who doesn't know about Sweet Fest or Dumb Drum.
I'm sure it's possible.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's possible.
It's entirely possible.
So we'll talk a little bit about Sweet Fest and then all the other stuff you have going on with Dumb Drum.
Cool.
But first, we'll talk about Fresno, as we do on this show.
Oh.
Fresno, we do a little roundup of kind of just Fresno stuff. That's happening.
We've missed a lot.
So we'll jump right in.
How long has it been?
I think we went through a four.
It might have been like a full month. Things started coming up. Yeah.
It's not our longest hiatus.
Flowing listeners are used to it.
Right. Yeah. They're used to waiting for it. So we were on a good run there for a little bit, and then there was. But we'll be back in it. So.
We're in it now.
Right, that's true. Yeah. And here's the thing. We may not have even done this had it not been for you guys reaching out and saying, hey,
we would have done something.
Probably.
Influence, you see.
All right, so do you want to start, Mike? You have your list of...
I don't know. Some of the stuff now is just kind of old.
Okay.
You said the mayor got endorsed by the LA Times.
The mayor, I believe it was. Yeah, there you go. So she's running for state comptroller. I was under the impression that no one thought she could win.
Really?
But now
they got the LA Times.
Right, and also Fresno B as well, I believe.
Whoa!
When is the election?
Unexpected.
How? When is the election?
June 3rd, I believe.
It's the primary.
Yeah, so it's the primary. Yeah, the primary. So
I see.
I don't know. Is there any? I was looking the other day. I got my voter, sample ballot. Mm-hmm. I was looking. I can't make heads or tails. That thing.
It looks like the tax book.
Yeah, the Scantron reminds me of. Take the cat test all over.
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I just look at it and I go, "What party? A Republican, Democrat, Green Party?" And then I try to figure it out. So name recognition, though, I think.
Yeah.
Swearinger, mm-hmm. for me, she has it locked.
Yeah. I would hope she'd win Fresno's.
But I'm not even sure what it means if she gets elected.
She said she'd stay in Fresno.
Oh, that
she
that
would
is
have
true.
The,
yeah.
the state controller's office
right,
in Fresno.
Oh, that'd be tight.
So that would be big, yeah.
Does that mean jobs?
Does that translate into jobs? But it means a new mayor.
Right.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Special election.
Who could it be?
Oh, would it have to be a special? I thought she said she could do both, or I don't know.
No, I think
maybe she meant she could run and still be mayor.
Yeah,
because her term ends 2016. So,
Oh
man,
it'd be a year early.
Brian Harley for mayor.
Brian Harley. Hey, I like that.
Harley for mayor.
I don't know about that.
So that's a little bit of politicking for you.
What about what I wanted to we've missed out on talking about is the mayor getting a PR person.
Oh
and
yes.
paying him like $120,000 or something.
Is it a PR person?
Communications director.
Yeah. Which the city did not have.
Right.
Or has not had for a long time.
In the past it has, but hasn't had for a long time because, we ain't got no money.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
You know?
It was, Randy Reed was the communications director previously.
Yeah.
I think he was laid off in like 20, 10 or 11 or something like that.
See, that 12? Would be like the first thing you're laying off is like somebody like that.
Right. I don't need that.
But we didn't have money like 6 months ago when the whole measured trash thing.
She found
some money. Like, the city's going to go in the shitter if we don't get this trash thing done. Didn't get done. Now we're like hiring people $120,000 for somebody to run the Twitter account.
I'm pretty sure he does that. More than
I don't. That's what I gleaned from the article. He's like, he's going to run the Twitter.
There's Facebook also.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, shit. Hello. Yeah. I bet they have.
I think
Instagram.
She has two Facebooks going too.
Starting up. So if they have an Instagram account, City of Fresno, that'd be,
yes.
Then it's that would be.
He's well, this opens the door for that. Now he'll have
right
time.
Now,
but I don't. He doesn't
Pinterest as well.
He's like
Snapchat.
He's like in his 50s and. He doesn't look like a social media guy to me.
Right. Well,
oh, they know social media. What that's ageism.
Yeah, sorry.
What do you think about?
Sorry, sorry, Uncle Dan.
So he got a lot of heat when he came on in the Fresno Bee was like, you know, calling it party politics and all this stuff. Like mm-hmm. she was.
Oh yeah,
because
he represented the Republican Party in California.
Yeah.
That seems like a big get. I guess I would think.
Yeah.
Like, why would he leave that job to be the mayor, the Fresno
Good
mayor's
question.
PR person?
Especially when your job could be over when she's elected.
Right.
Yeah, right. And then, just a
yeah.
couple months.
She doesn't make it. Yeah, he'd be gone.
And then
I guess they're used to that.
The better question is: have we seen any improvements in the communications of?
Well,
the
that's
city?
Something I'd ask you, being in the media.
I did see something.
Is that what happens when you come to your boss, your editor, and you're like, she's like, what's going on with this? You're like,
we'll talk about it on the podcast next week.
What bands are coming to town this weekend? you read the president? I don't know.
Yeah, that's how I point around. I'm like, hey. You can look at Facebook just like me. Come on.
Don't you follow Audie's Olympic on Facebook?
I think I did see a post from him somewhere.
From Audie?
No, from the communications
journal. Oh, okay, somewhere. On he's on like, Twitter. Hey, guys.
Was it Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest?
He's all...
I think MySpace? It was Twitter. I don't know. It was MySpace. Yeah.
He's all, hashtag I'm awesome, Fresno.
It was LiveJournal. It was a LiveJournal account.
LiveJournal. He's all, I'm taking over LiveJournal, guys.
Well, hopefully he'll do well. So are you saying that it was a bad decision?
I just don't understand the need. I guess maybe I don't get it.
Oh, you said he comes from the Republican?
He basically had the same job with the Republican Party in California.
Yeah. Maybe he's getting groomed to be the next mayor.
Oh,
House
Jesus.
Of Cards style. Yeah.
We've got live Frank House of Cards Underwood happening.
Well, you know, I think most cities have this type of person.
I guess. I mean,
just... to deal with both the internal and external communications. I mean, the city is a large organization. It would seem like you would need someone to...
Probably. I mean, if I was mayor, I would like somebody to deal with all that
right.
shit. I get why.
I think maybe the mayor just was getting tired of having to deal
she's like,
with everyone.
She's terrible
talking.
On Twitter, so maybe that's why.
I tweeted the city of Fresno to come fucking deal with a crazy cat lady that lives two doors down. Is he going to fucking answer my... He hasn't yet.
No, well, so maybe keep us posted.
Yeah. I want to know.
Okay, so yeah, she's terrible on Twitter, but... Were you at the Creative Fresno 10-year?
I was, yeah.
And so you saw her speech.
Yes.
And what did you think?
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was. You were there too.
Yeah,
what did you think?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
it was. She did a good.
I
speech.
Thought she had some good ideas for Creative Fresno, right. Like things you could try. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought that made
well,
sense.
Things you
could be doing.
I've seen her at two different events now. Give these sort of speeches. And she's very impassioned.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
It definitely came off like a farewell
right.
tour. She's on a farewell
tour.
And she's a great speaker.
And I'm like, wow, okay, I understand now, like, she, if this is all I knew of her were these events, I would think that she was the best mayor ever.
Sure. But since you know more, you don't.
Yeah, I mean, she's a darn sight better than anyone else I can think of that could possibly be mayor, I think. Or that we've had in the recent,
that's
you know,
true.
Not too recent past. So.
Yeah.
And maybe we could transition now to Creative Fresno. Since
10 years of Creative Fresno.
10 years this year is the, we're having an anniversary. I say
board
we because
member
I
Joshua
Teehee. I am on the board.
I got kicked off for being too awesome.
It happened.
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
When you get
that's
rid of this mic guy, he's too awesome.
That's what they told me. This guy's too creative. He's making us too awesome and too creative.
We got to step back from this guy. So on the 22nd of May, that is a Thursday, we're going to have a little party down there at Gazebo Garden. So I'll plug that just right now for anyone who wants to come out. There's going to be all sorts of funness happening. But
unless you're in Flip, then don't show up.
Right.
We don't want Flip people in there.
Is there a battle between
them? There always has been.
I mean,
maybe there is. I've never
Flip is like the Clove. What Fresno, Clovis is to Fresno. Flip is to Creative Fresno. Yeah. That's just me. That is not an official Creative Fresno statement.
As a former awesome board member.
Yeah.
But, you know, so let's talk a little bit about Creative Fresno. Because, so Creative Fresno does a lot of things. But I have always felt like it is more than just like the people who make up Creative Fresno. And I always like just assume that it feels to me more like a movement of things. And so I sort of like, even though you guys aren't at all part of Creative Fresno, would lump you guys into like a movement that sort of happened around the same time that Creative Fresno was coalescing and all of this stuff was happening.
That's what I think it should be. It shouldn't be just about like this organization and the people inside the organization, but like all creative things in Fresno.
Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, I think Creative Fresno has done some really impressive stuff, I mean, with Fuse Fest and, you know, from the very beginning, there was the Mind Hub, I guess, came out of Creative Fresno, too.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's been a very valuable organization for the city.
And it seems like if you look at the people who have been involved at one point in time, and some of them are still and some of them are not, it's a pretty impressive group. I think one of the problems with the group and what I find great about it is that because we don't really care about things that normally nonprofit organizations care about, we don't get a lot of recognition for the things we do necessarily, because we don't toot our own horn about it. We just go and do it. But at the same time, that keeps us from ever really getting that recognition and then being able to grow into something else. And so I think that's the conflict that I've always seen within the organization is like, do we want to be a nonprofit organization like a lot of other nonprofit organizations in town, and go after the big grants and be beholden to those things? Or do we just want to go out and get stuff done and, you know, be happy with the things that we do?
Well, I think it's got to be a good balance of the both. You know, you want to grow. You want to bring new people into the organization. I mean, like Tim Stearns was the speaker before Swearingen that night. I mean, he made the comment, this room should be filled to the brim with people, and it wasn't so much. There were maybe, you know, 50, 60 people there. Yeah, it should be. You know, where are these people who are just as engaged as the other people in here and wanting to do more cool stuff?
Right.
I mean, that's been our motto, is just do cool stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm sure there's people doing cool stuff. We just need to be part of this movement together.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's one thing with Sweet Fest and, you know, the stuff that we've done here locally. We have the same issue where, like, you know, how, you know, much do we, like you said, toot your own horn? You want, you know, we're doing cool stuff. We're kind of happy with what we're done. We've grown a lot and we're pulling in a lot of people. We do our own side stuff with Dumb Drum. We've been growing that, and they're two separate entities. But, you know, Sweet Fest is something we just do for fun. You know, we spend a lot of our time doing it. It's, you know, cost money to do it, but we just do it for fun and for the community. And it is a fine line where you want to keep growing, so you have to kind of spread it out there, but you want to do it kind of in baby steps and not just go out there and try to and see what happens.
Right. So and I agree. And I think a lot of times, you know, people look at the end goal before they look at what they're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sort of shoot themselves in the foot. That being said, we Creative Fresno did get our first grant for I don't even know what it is. I'm the worst. I'm the worst board member ever.
It's a mobile art project.
A mobile art project. And Teresa Flores is the she has a title, but she's essentially coordinating these art, it will travel around and do some things.
Around the city?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Actually, I think it might actually, do you know? If it's just the city or if it's...
The valley?
I didn't hear about valley.
You didn't get that deep into it.
I didn't get, yeah.
He was too busy being awesome.
Memo, yeah.
In the corner.
I was really busy in the corner being awesome.
I'll find out and get back to us all. But so that was really kind of impressive. I felt like that was an impressive, like, move for us, like a good kind of marking point, because it's been 10 years and we have, over those 10 years, you know, Fuse Fest obviously has raised a good deal of money to kind of help with the festival. The mural projects has done a lot in terms of fundraising to get murals up, but it's always been very project specific, and even this is project specific, but in terms of getting a grant from a big organization, it's been the first time that we've been able to do that. So, very happy.
Yeah, it's cool.
Congrats. And our Ghetto Bird appearance.
Oh,
right, nailed it. Right
that's
in the middle.
Really good.
It's usually in the middle.
Yeah.
He came to congratulate Creative Fresno.
Yeah, right.
Shining. But I always think Creative Fresno as something that doing cool things for the city that the government can't do or doesn't have the ability to do or doesn't have the money
or
creativeness to do or want. So Creative Fresno steps in and does things that you're not going to see government doing,
right,
but still the city, to make the city more livable place.
Yeah.
And it has.
One of many things.
I think. Yeah.
In Fresno.
So,
like the Swede Fest.
That's one good. Good going. Nice transition.
You've been doing this a while, huh, Josh?
So let's talk about the Swede Fest, and we'll kind of, again, I am under the impression that people who are listening to this will know what the Swede Fest is. Do you have to explain it every... Because I find myself...
Yes.
Okay. Because I have written many stories about Swede Fest during my job in the paper. And every time I come against that thing where it's like, well, how much do I explain?
Because
I'm tired of explaining it.
You're tired.
So do you have to explain it to everyone? And then can you explain it to us?
Yeah, we do have to explain it to everyone. And I guess it depends on the venue. But... depending on how that determines how much of the backstory we will go into.
Okay.
Being that we have a little bit more time on a podcast, you know, I might mention how it comes from the movie Be Kind, Rewind, which we don't always go into because it can be quite difficult to explain.
Yes.
But basically, there's this movie, Be Kind, Rewind, came out in 2008, starring Jack Black and Mos Def, directed by a French filmmaker and written by him named Michel Gondry. And it's about these two guys who are buddies, and one of them works in a video store, and the other buddy accidentally erases all the tapes in the video store. It's a VHS store. And they still have, you know, one or two customers that still peruse the store. So in order to fool these customers into thinking that they're actually renting the movies, they remake the movies themselves as quick as they can in a really low-budget fashion. And, you know, obviously their customers realize that these are not the actual movies. These are remakes. But they kind of dig them, and it kind of becomes popular in this small little neighborhood, this fictional town in, like, the East Coast.
Yeah,
New Jersey. And it, like, culminates with the community coming together and creating their own little Sweded films.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's we just thought it was a cool thing.
Can you explain the Swede part?
Yeah. So they tell their customers that, a customer comes in and says, I want The Lion King. And they're, okay, well, that'll be a couple weeks because the movie's imported from Sweden. It's a Sweded film. Mm-hmm. So it's just something that the Jack Black's character came up with on the cuff.
Yeah.
And that's where the term Sweded film comes from.
And so then... the Swede movement, let's say, came about as part of the publicity for the DVD?
Yeah, the film came out in February 2008, and to kind of promote the film, they did this little contest on YouTube. They said, hey, Swede, your favorite movie, throw it up on YouTube, and you might win fabulous prizes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't remember the specifics. And so people did it, and it, after the contest, it still sort of like lingered on YouTube as this kind of weird, you know, phenomenon that people were doing. I guess you could say it was kind of a viral phenomenon at the time, even though I'm not sure the term viral was really...
Yeah, I mean, parodies that always existed, around, right? Yeah. Yeah, YouTube and stuff.
I mean, that's basically what it is. It's a parody, but it's just, it's got its own little flair, you know, on the parody genre, I guess you could say. So this sort of Sweeted movement thing, phenomenon, lingered on the internet past 2008.
Well, it was in 2008.
I think 2008 was when you created your Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Swede, and threw it up on Dumb Drum, which was a blog at the time.
Right. Yeah, so the film came out about January, February, early 2008. Mm-hmm. So the contest was held about that time.
In the summer,
It was, did it come out in the summer?
Is that it came out in February, but the contest was in the summer.
Oh, what was it?
Yeah,
oh.
It might have been for even the DVD release.
Oh, okay, okay. So when they did that, we took the concept of Sweden. We were just like, oh, this seems really cool. Let's just try it out. And we put it out there, not for the contest, though. It was just to throw it out there. And the whole idea for me was, I'm going to throw it out there, and the blog was relatively here in Fresno.
Yeah, I wasn't even part of your, it was like your blog at the time. I wasn't even really part of it.
Yeah. I think you were in LA.
You were just using it to like talk about filmmaking and
Fresno,
stuff,
yeah.
And it was just a random, you know, your thoughts
and
on a blog.
And this is the Dumb Drum.
Yeah, the most intriguing. That was before we shortened it to.
It was when it was on Blogspot.
It was on Blogspot, yeah. So I did it,
good,
you know.
Blogspot.
I just spotted. Yeah. My whole idea was like, let's see if we can, if we do it out there, maybe we can get some more engagement here locally with some other people that are, you know, like film, like us.
Maybe the Beehive will post it and some other people will make some
Beehive
tweets.
And only pick
the
it
Beehive
up.
Beehive,
right?
Only fingers crossed.
Or the Fresnan, or the Fresnan.
No, no, no. You don't want that.
So, yeah,
but
we
of
did
course
it.
Nobody did.
I think it was on the Beehive.
Well, but nobody else created a Swede.
Oh, no, no,
it,
no,
it didn't
no,
work.
No. Right. So the whole, the whole concept was, yeah, let's, I'm going to throw it out there, see if people can, you know, do their own Swede and just to see if we can engage people. If people like see it, like, hey, that's kind of cool. So
and,
we shot
we
it over.
Engage people.
We shot it.
Let's see if we can do it. I guess we can.
Yeah. But that was the early days of blogging here in town. We're just, I was just trying to get something started. And like, Brian, I think you were in LA at the time. Yeah. So I just threw it out there and, you know, got picked up on the Beehive. I think, it, you know, randomly from there, just kind of, it didn't go very far, but it did get a good amount of hits, I think, at the, you know. But from there,
which in those days was like 85 hits.
Yeah.
Like, man,
that's
85.
Local
50,
viral.
That's
50 hits.
Yeah. That's local viral.
Yep.
So, from there, after a few months had passed, I think, or a little while had passed, and, one of my coworkers' husband, who William Rains, who runs Corridor 2122 downtown, was like, hey, that's pretty cool. You should consider doing a festival around this whole concept and, you know, have people submit. And it's just like, from there, I was like, holy shit, that's pretty cool. Let's see if, you know, but then I was kind of hesitant at first because it didn't really work on the blog. And, you know, is it really going to work in a film festival kind of setting if we try to get people to submit that way?
So that guy's the real creator of Sweet Fest. You'll probably be talking to him.
I always read it with him giving me the idea. And he's just like, why don't you hold it at my art studio, you know, and I'll get some people to maybe do it too. And we'll go from there. So at that time, like Brian, I think, was in L.A. So it was just basically William and I, they kind of put it together, the first one.
Although I made a Swede,
and then
and I did attend.
He did attend, and he made, which one? RoboCop, right?
RoboCop.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I love that Swede so much. And that is the only Swede that stars a council member, right?
Is
that
Lee Brand?
Lee
is
Brand
in that
is
Swede.
In the, yeah, if you look
Lee
back,
Brand's
Lee
in
Brand
a Swede.
Is in the, he was at the first Swede Fest. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Well, he wasn't at Swede Fest.
No,
but
he wasn't
in,
there. He was in
Swede
Fest. Yeah. So yeah, the first one we had, you know, surprisingly 30 or 40 people showed
and
up.
We were like
shocked.
Astonished.
I was like, holy shit, people
like
came
30
out.
People.
And we got eight.
We knew
inches,
most of them, but still, people came out.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, from there, we just like, well, we got to keep doing this. I mean, maybe people still keep doing
it. Yeah, this was in August. So it was just like 6 months after the movie came out and it just threw it together. And it,
2008.
And then we did the second one just really quickly afterwards.
Right.
I think it happened like November of the same year. We didn't even wait and just went right in the second one.
Yeah. And this the Cafe Info Shop, I think, was the second one.
Yeah, in Chinatown.
And,
that was bold.
Yeah, we just wanted to, one of the main
bold
ideas.
Venue.
One of the ideas that I had for it was, we want to move around to different venues so we can get people to go to these new places.
Right.
We wanted people to go to downtown and, you know, Chinatown. And mm-hmm. so the second one was there. We went back for the third one at Corridor, and then, you know, each one just started growing. We started getting more and more entries locally.
Yeah, the third one, when we were back at Corridor, we packed Corridor.
Yeah.
And so
we're
like, okay, well, we're going to have to go to somewhere else. So we went to Starline.
Starline.
And then Starline, we stayed there, I think, for like
two or three.
And we went to Full Circle. And then packed that out. Went to Full Circle, packed that out. And eventually Tower Theater.
Then at that point we were, you know, we hooked up with Fresno Filmworks, and we got, you know, some sponsors from
Gotta Love Fresno.
Yeah. Right. So that gave us the ability to go to the theater. We had actually gone to a theater before in Clovis.
Oh, yeah. Our first theater, was in Sierra Vista.
So the whole idea was to eventually get to a theater so people can watch their movies in the movie setting, you know, and we reached that, and now we've been at Tower for the past.
Yeah, from the beginning, we wanted to do it in a movie theater because just thought it made sense. It's a, you know, event for people that like movies, about recreating movies. Right. It should be in a movie theater.
Yeah.
And we eventually got that. I thought that would be the only one we did in a movie theater.
Yeah, I know.
But like, fortunately, we were able to get, you know, some sponsors to help us out, and we've been at the Tower Theater since then. Yeah.
So the first one we had about 30, 40 people, and now our last one we had between 550 and 600 people, I think. Yeah. So it's been growing. We get into, you know, entries from Spain, from all over the country. I mean, the world just sending us entries here. They want to send their films to Fresno, so it's kind of cool.
And when was the moment that you realized, like, oh yeah, this is a thing beyond just you guys, you know? I mean, when did you realize, like, oh, this is something that other people are into? And
I think it probably was when we went to Starline, because it was a bigger venue. Yeah. And then when we packed Starline for the first time, which was maybe not until like Sweetfest 5 or 6.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, people I don't know are showing up here. Actually, I think I know what it was. We hadn't done any TV appearances until Sweetfest 5, I think it was.
Oh, really?
And we were on, like, Great Day with Kobe.
By the way,
Kim.
Can I say, you guys are wonderful on TV.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I think we look better on podcasts, though.
Yeah.
But these old couple, elderly couple, came up to me afterwards and were like, oh, we saw you on Great Day, and so we decided to come out. I was like, oh, that's weird. Why'd you do that?
Why? But thanks.
Why have you done this?
And so I think that was the moment when I was like, oh, people are liking this. Yeah. This is interesting.
It kept growing. And for me, I think it was when we got the entry from Spain. That was the first, you know, and, you know, they spoke Spanish and they were just like, hey, we love Sweden. This is awesome. You guys do this. Can we submit? And we're like, yeah, well, that's crazy. We're getting emails from people from across the globe. So for me, that was a huge moment where it's like, holy shit, this is kind
of
cool.
Then, of course, when we tweeted the Avengers trailer in 2011?
Yeah, 2011-ish,
And then that's when they that particular Swede, we did it shot for shot for the most part. And
we had done one before, a trailer shot for shot, but it was a fucking pain in the ass. Yeah, so we're just like, we're never going to do that.
And then you were like, oh, the Avengers trailer is coming out. We should do this. And like, you know, we should just do this.
Yeah.
So we did. And then like jokingly sent it out to like ain'titcoolnews.com.
Right.
And they posted it. Yeah. And like, oh, well, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's
and then other websites picked it up. Yeah. And then the Hollywood Reporter and Variety and Roger Ebert was blogging about it. And it just went crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of nuts.
Chris Hardwick had it on. They had it on when Chris Hardwick
show.
Attack of the Show.
It was on Attack of the Show. Yeah, that was kind of weird because we were kind of sworn off the trailer thing, but like we were at Livingstone's, I think, and I was like, Brian, I think we need to do this, man. We need to do the Avengers trailer because it's going to be cool. And the whole idea for me was like, we'll release it before Sweetfest. We don't like to do that. We don't like to release it before because, you know, we want you to come to the event.
Yeah, we thought we'll generate some local interest in coming to Sweetfest.
So we're like, let's release it. Maybe we can generate some interest to the film festival with this. And then, so we did. We went against it, and it worked out where it just started going beyond fucking Fresno, and it just started going all over the place. So it was really, really kind of
crazy. And now you guys are all over the place.
Well, after that, we just decided, let's see if we can keep doing this.
Yeah. So then,
let's do another one, see if people watch that one, too.
Yeah.
And
what was the next one? It was Dark Knight, I think, after that. And, you know, our YouTube channels just started growing. We just started building that, and we thought, well, maybe we should
tell people what it is so they can find it.
It's just actually go to dumdrum.com. It'll forward you to the YouTube channel.
There you go.
And,
you got up to a point where you did Pacific Rim and got actually the director of Pacific Rim
yeah,
actually
yeah.
met him because of it, and he talked about it without knowing.
Yeah,
like tell us.
Yeah, with some of our other ones, like with the Avengers and Iron Man, we have like celebrity retweets and things like that. Yeah. But with Pacific Rim, we actually got an email from John Knoll, who's not only he's like one of the head, I think he's the head visual effects artist or supervisor for ILM, Industrial Light and Magic.
Well, he was for that project.
Well, now he oversees the entire visual effects department. Yeah. But he was doing the head of the visual effects for Pacific Rim. He was just like, oh, I saw your Swede. It, you know, came across my desk at a time when we were wrapping the visual effects on the movie. And it was like really hilarious for our whole visual effects crew to like watch it. And we got a kick out of it while we were finishing the movie. Like, oh, that's awesome. He's like, oh, yeah, I had lunch with Guillermo del Toro, the director. And we talked about it. And we just think it's cool that you guys are making stuff like this.
My favorite line was the last line too. Was just like, we know what you guys are doing in Fresno. Keep up the good work, or something like that.
Yeah. Even references Fresno.
He referenced Fresno.
Yeah, he was like, I want you to know that the filmmakers know you're doing stuff like this, and we think it's great. Yeah.
Wow, so that's amazing. Really cool to have something like that unsolicited. Come to you like that. That's amazing.
It was really cool. So that happened, you know, we got that email and we were just like, oh shit, it's fucking crazy. And like about 3 or 4 days later, we heard that Del Toro was going to be at WonderCon down in Anaheim, and we're like, well, let's just go. Let's go see what's going on with the movie. And he's going to show a panel, so let's go see what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, so we went to this panel in this huge, big, like, basketball arena in the Anaheim Convention Center. And I don't know, a huge amount of people there.
Yeah.
And we're little ants in a huge crowd. And Guillermo del Toro comes out on stage and talking about the movie. And they normally show like exclusive trailers and stuff like that at these presentations. And so he's just to sort of introduce the trailer, he was like, how many of you have seen the online web trailer? Okay, fine. How many of you have seen this other trailer that was released? People clap. How many of you have seen the Sweeted trailer? Like, nobody clapped. There's like a single clap.
Brian and I.
And we're like done. Yeah, like, we saw it.
We fucking jumped up out of our chairs. We're like, we fucking did.
Fucking made that.
Yeah. But, and like, nobody knows. No one heard it. Yeah. Some people around us were like, what the fuck are these guys? Don't yeah, pretty much.
And we didn't even hear what he said next, but we eventually went on YouTube after the fact and like saw someone's camera video of the whole thing. And he was like, I was so inspired by what these guys did with the Sweeted trailer that I created a new exclusive trailer to show you guys here.
Let's see them sweet this.
Let's see them sweet this, is what he said. And it was
challenge accepted.
We didn't accept the challenge. It would have been hard. But yeah, it was crazy. So he was doing a signing afterwards. So we decided, all right, now that he's mentioned us, we have to stand in this huge long line to just try to talk to the guy.
Right.
And the whole time, these security guards are like, don't say anything to Mr. Del Toro. You will be thrown out. You know, just
do not look him in the eye.
Look down. Hand him your poster. He'll sign your poster. Then you leave. Yeah, no questions. Leave.
Don't take pictures.
No pictures.
We see you bust out your cameras. We're going to take away your cameras.
We're going to bust
your
photos, you.
And we're going to kick you. We'll take away your passes. And,
but of course, we had to say, fuck that.
Worth the risk.
And we were just like, hey, we're the guys that made the Swede.
Yeah.
And initially, he was like, oh, that's great. the Swede trailer you talked about, we made that. Oh, it's you guys. Yeah. And he like got up and he gave us a big bear hug.
Yeah, he just reached around the table.
Called his publicist over and had him take a picture with us.
He's like, I want to take a picture with these guys.
And so they've been telling people this whole time, no pictures. Yeah. And all of a sudden, these fucking jackoffs walk up and they're getting pictures. Like, they must have been.
And everyone else in the line was like,
"Yeah, what? Damn the fuck them!" It was funny because even the people behind the table were like, "Who are? What the fuck's going on?" Like the Warner Brother handler people, they're like, "Oh, like,
what's happening? What's happening?"
And we didn't even get to see the picture. We got the picture off of Warner Brothers' tweet.
Right. Like after that happened, we're like, "We don't fucking let's just go home." Like there's nothing us to do here. We did. We just like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. We went to Taco Bell, grabbed some food, and it was when we were at Taco Bell, we're like, holy shit, Warner Brothers had tweeted out the picture of us three.
Well, so you missed the part where he invited us to the premiere when we were talking to him.
So yeah, so as like the everything was going on, you know, people in line were like, "What the fuck are these guys doing?" And like random people are like, you know, there other people are saying like, "Oh, we saw it too." You know, there's the guy that runs the Warner Brothers Twitter account and other random people that we were talking to. But I kind of focused on Guillermo and I started talking to him in Spanish. I was like, "Hey, you know," going back and forth, and I was just like, "Hopefully, like, you know, we can communicate." Like, paisa, ¿qué onda? So we started going back and forth, and he's like, "Are you?" And he told me in Spanish, he's like, "Are you guys going to come to the premiere?" And I'm like, "Are we invited?" And he's like, "A huevo." He's like, "Fuck yeah, you guys are coming." Essentially.
So I don't speak Spanish, so I was like,
"Yeah, I felt bad. I was like, "Ryan, just let me have it." Yeah.
Translate.
Yeah.
Are you fucking this up, Rocky?
What is he saying?
He doesn't speak for me, sir.
But he grabs a napkin and he starts fucking writing down like his address. And he's like, he's like, "Oh, I want you to fucking get a hold of me."
And then his publicist stops him.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
And he's like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, "All right, well, get," he's like, "I have their information." And we, you know, he's like, "Well, we'll communicate and we'll get you guys to the premiere then." So I was like, "All right, cool. That's fucking awesome."
We had to wait several months before we finally did hear from them.
Yeah. But, it was kind of scary. But finally we came up. It's like, "Yeah, you guys are coming. These are the dates." And, we'll see you there. We'll be at the after party too. I was like, awesome. Came out kind of cool.
So I think that's a great motivator for people out there to make a Swede, because you might get invited to a Hollywood party.
Yeah, you never know.
There you go. Yeah. Please submit.
I mean, God, what is that feeling like of like, you put the thing out and you're essentially doing it for fun and, you know, trying to, and then suddenly it's like the director is not only going, "Oh, I saw it and it was cool," but he's like, "It inspired me to do this," or, you know, and then getting that I mean, as a, from a, the creative standpoint of someone, like, what's that?
It's a really fucking good feeling. I'm not going to lie. Like, to have someone that, you know, you kind of look up to and, you know, see that you're, like, you see this guy's films I have, and I'm like, holy shit, this guy makes some amazing films that really kind of are moving. They're moving, you know, they're fucking great films. And then to have him say, like, "I saw your shit. It's fucking a masterpiece. Like, I loved it." He imitated the sound that we did. He went, when he saw us, he's like, "Oh, I fucking loved it." He's like, "I watched it with my kids. We all watched it." And, you know, it's like, oh, shit, that's awesome.
That's
so
pinnacle.
It's a great fucking feeling. Like, I'm not going to lie.
But in the end, I think we still realize what we're doing is kind of ridiculous and childish.
Here's
not high art or anything.
You say that, but that's because you can do it. Because I see everything that you've done and the way that you put together the films, the Swedes, and it's like, yeah, the amount of time. I mean, it's definitely not a major, like, you know, feature film, but the amount of time and the effort that you put into each individual piece. I mean, that is more than most people put into most of the things they do in their, you know. So I really feel like you've taken a Swede and sort of elevated it to, I would say, an art form. You know, when I watch your
one could man another beer.
Well, no, but I mean, when I see what you guys are doing with with your Swedes, to me, it's like, well, that's what a Swede should ultimately be. That's what you should be trying to accomplish with it. You know, that's like the pinnacle of. Mm-hmm.
Well, we kind of want to avoid that stigma, because that might drive people to say, "Well, this is too hard. I'm not going to make something like that, so I'm just not going to even try."
Definitely something like that.
And that flies in the face of why we do Swede Fest, and why we have been doing it 13 times, you know, almost 13 times now, because we want people to not be afraid of just trying something and being creative and having fun. And it doesn't matter how good or bad it is, you're going to do it just because you're having fun doing it.
Right.
So we don't want to detract people from submitting and being part of Swede Fest.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about Swede Fest. You can put in
There's no wrong way of doing it.
We can put tons of work in there. I mean, we do put in a lot of work, and there's a lot of time dedicated when we do these event Swedes, you know. But you could be
event Swedes. Yeah.
But, you know, it could be as easy as just, you know, going out and shooting, having fun with your friends, shooting something on your phone. Yeah. And that's what we want
to
really...
I mean, if it inspires people to try to raise the bar, so to speak, with their sweeting, then fine. Yeah. But I don't want it to detract.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Well, and that's the other, I mean, the other thing that I like about the festival is that you do get across the line, and it's interesting to see people's interpretations of what a Swede should be.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Because you see some people who go the direction that you go, and it's very intricate, and there's very, very thought out, and other people are just like, well, I set my camera over here, and I'm going to say the lines, yeah. And, you know, and put on a wig or whatever.
Or they sweet a music video,
right.
You know,
and then both works, yeah, you know, yeah. I mean,
it's always crazy to me, like, there'll be some, you know, the laughs that some of these, like, sometimes, like, oh, I wonder if this is going to get any laughs, or I'm like, well, we'll see how it plays. Every time, almost every Swede gets a good laugh, sure. You know, yeah. It's always a success, almost. So.
And what's nice is that they're under 4 minutes, so right. If it's not a great one that you're enjoying, maybe you haven't seen the movie, well, it'll be done pretty soon, right. You know, and it'll be on to the next one.
And, looking back over all of the Swedes and the ones that you have not done, what are some of the your favorites, or I mean, are there Swedes that you have seen that you have personally been inspired by? Like, you see something and go, oh man, I would never have thought to do it that way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were just talking about the Pulp Fiction that a couple years ago, Kevin Searcy, I think, did
with
this.
The finger guns?
With they did fruit guns, oh, like the bananas.
Okay. Yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah. I thought that was just awesome because it's childish, but it just works so good, and you get those laughs, and it's a good contrast to the film itself, where it's just so violent, you know. So I thought they did an excellent job with that, and it's just brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, even just outside of Swedefest, like since we started doing these more intricate shot by shot Swedes, we've started to see other people Sweding. On YouTube as well, mm-hmm. Starting whole channels dedicated to just Sweding stuff,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
at a pretty, you know, high level as well.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly impressed by the stuff that other people are doing. And we reach out and we're like, hey, we're doing this Swedefest thing. Can we, you want to submit?
Right.
And yeah. So it's fun to make those, you know, partnerships.
Yeah. At first, we're kind of like, hey, we're doing Sweden first. But it's just like, you know, well, that's cool though. If they're doing it, they're doing a good job, then, you know, why not? We've had entries from those people now where we communicate with them, and it's cool. You know, it's just like a little community.
Swedefest is for everyone.
Yes, right. It is.
That would bother me though. Like, I was going to even ask you that. Like, hey, we're like the kings of it. You have to run through us. Yeah. Like, that's why I would be like, you have to run through us before you can start Sweding, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, you need to come to my throne, kneel for a minute, and then I can go, okay, you can go Sweden.
You got that old Fresno blogger mentality.
Yeah,
right?
I do.
Like, oh, fucking beehive. No, but seriously, those thoughts. Like, at first, where I was like, oh, what the fuck, you know? But, you know, after a while,
it's just like an acknowledgement that, like, if somebody has a channel, a Sweet channel, that has never contacted you, that would bug me. I'd be like, why?
Like, you would troll you, like, that thing so hard.
Yeah, I'd be like, you guys are doing real Swedes, blah, blah, blah. I'd be the worst YouTube commenter on their Swede. This isn't a real Swede. If you want to check out the real Swede, go to SwedeFest.com.
Yeah. Well, if anything, they're just helping us keep it alive.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, I'm still kind of surprised that, you know, when we do a event Swede and it gets posted on some movie blog, that they call it Sweding and they don't call it something else, and there people like still know what that word
it
means.
It is pretty odd,
even though that movie came out in 2008
and wasn't really like a huge hit.
It wasn't,
which is the weird thing that, you know, this came from a movie that at best was like has a cult following,
right. And even that's doubtful,
and, right? And yet it seems like it's definitely taken on a life of its own. Mm.
I mean, even we thought at one point when Swedefest, like in the midpoint, you know, do we still call it Swedefest? Do people know what Sweding is? And maybe we should just call this something else so not have to confuse people.
Yeah.
But no, we're sticking with it, I think, at this point.
So tell me the other thing that you have going on. You've sort of hinted at it, are these event Swedes that you've been doing. And you've been doing a lot of tie-ins with Legacy and the movies that they've been doing, Pacific Rim.
Legendary.
Legendary Pictures. I'm sorry. And now
they will sue us. If
I know. That's no joke.
Legendary Pictures.
Can you fix that in post?
Sure.
And then recently the Godzilla little trailer thing. So tell me a little bit about that relationship, how it happened, and sort of what, I mean, is there more to come?
Yeah, it sort of came out of, yeah, it came out of the Pacific Rim connection. We obviously, I think the first person actually in Guillermo del Toro's camp to see it was his assistant. And it sort of got passed around and passed around through Legendary, passed around through Warner Brothers and ILM. And so after we had gone to the premiere, I don't know how long, it was around the DVD release of Pacific Rim.
Yeah, it was around September.
Right before that, they had Legendary Pictures marketing department and contacted us. And we're like, hey, you know, do you guys want to suite a couple of your favorite clips from the film? And we'll throw them up on our like Instagram page as a way to kind of promote the DVD release. And we're like, oh, well, that'd be cool. Sure. Yeah, why not? Yeah. So we did that and you know, didn't hear from him for a while. And so we hit him up. We're like, how's it going, Legendary? Can we do something else? And like, oh, well, we got this Godzilla thing. Yeah. And so, yeah, we just, you know, that's...
Yeah, they seem really... happy after we did the Pacific Rim DVD release, and they were like, yeah, you know, just let us know, we can work together and collaborate in the future. And we had hit them up to see, I forget why we hit them up. It was for, we had an idea, we wanted to see if we can collaborate with them with Sweetfest. This was like in February or March. We figured like, hey, you know, you guys have a film coming out on the same time, we've done some work together, let's see if we can do something with Sweetfest and Godzilla. And we, you know, they had already had a bunch of stuff planned, so they were just like, well, we already have this whole campaign ready, good to go, so we can't really do too much. But then out of nowhere, they emailed us like, hey, guess what? We do have something that you guys can, you guys want to work together. And we're like, yeah, go for it. So they hit us up on a Thursday around noon. We had a conference call with them and their social media people around 3. That evening, Brian and I went to Denny's downtown, kind of hatched out a plan. We were, that evening, that's a couple hours later, we're down in Fulton Mall blocking out the shots. And then by Saturday, we had to spread the word trying to get people out there. And Sunday we were shooting, and Tuesday we had it to them in their hands. So it was a super quick turnaround.
Yeah, they want to do this campaign for Godzilla. Basically people giving their best reaction to seeing Godzilla arriving in their city. So we devised this little like long shot of this guy on the Fulton Mall getting, you know, chased by Godzilla, and there's a bunch of people running around on the mall running from Godzilla. And it's, you can actually see it at GodzillaAlert.com.
Yeah. So they used it, you know, and we sent it to them. They loved it, and they put it up on their... They basically, it was the example video they wanted to have people look at so they can see, like, this is a one way you can approach it.
Yeah, so here's cool. The contest, yeah. Yeah, and awesome. See what these guys did. Yeah.
That's great.
So it was kind of cool, you know, and, you know, we're...
So we're still feeling out our relationship them, but, yeah. I mean, it's cool that movie studios are seeing this kind of stuff and wanting to engage their fans and, you know,
that's
have
what
that
I think
more,
is
like,
really,
genuine...
Yeah.
Content.
Yeah, and it seems like interesting because it's like, it seems like a whole new thing. Like, you know, there's trailers or whatever. And now there's this whole new thing that you guys are doing. Do you think it'll catch on in terms of like other studios doing it, and maybe not even you guys, but having their own people make these kinds of things for...
The thing with Legendary is that they're really kind of focused on the fan. They know that these people are going to go watch this movie. Let's try to focus on them. And they're really good at engaging that community. And I just don't see other studios doing that. And that's something that's really unique to them. So props to them for trying to tap into
that. We're not
that.
Being paid to say that.
No, for real.
Right.
Yeah, no.
No, and I mean, that's...
I'm not being paid for anything. No.
From the beginning, that's what I thought was cool, is like for them to even be able like to be aware enough that you guys are out there doing this is pretty cool to me, because you know, you think of movie studios, you don't think of like them watching
going on YouTube and watching videos,
stuff like that. So
I think we'll only see more of it in the future, you know, as the studios try to engage their fans and try to listen to them more and see what, you know, what
and
they
like
and what they
right
don't
there
like
on the ground.
At like the Comic-Con and things like that. It's bigger than it's ever been, and it's just gonna get bigger as the studios embrace this, you know, pop culture nerd movement.
Nerddom.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even like everyone's a nerd nowadays. Right. It's not even a
right. Even
thing.
The jocks are nerds. Yeah. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. We have to start playing sports.
Took it
now.
From us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to switch now. I'm going to start at 35. Sports. I'm going to start playing sports.
Playing beer
and then
pong.
I'll start making fun of them.
Like, look at you, loser. Loser. I'm going to go start pushing some jocks down.
Where are you going, Spider-Man 2?
The old Letterman jacket.
So give everyone the rundown on the next Sweet Fest because it's coming up. Let them know all the info so they can be there.
Sweet Fest 13 is Saturday, May 17th. When is this airing? When is it going to go?
Plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Monday. Is it Monday? Okay. Well, if it's Monday before 11:59 p.m., you still have time to submit.
Okay.
But if it's past Monday, May 12th at 11:59 p.m., just come to the show. It's going to be a good time. It's a free all-ages show. So, you know, bring out everyone in your family.
It's at the Tower Theater. Doors open at 5. Yeah. Movies start at 5:30.
Yeah. And then afterwards, Fresno Filmworks will be showing Dr. Strangelove. That's not free. That's $5, I think, to get in. So if you want to make it a movie evening.
Is it? Yeah. Do they put it afterwards because it's that film? Because I know before they had done it, in the afternoon and then. Right. Seems more of like a...
They help us out. They're one of the sponsors. You know, it's because of them that we're able to get the Tower Theater and things like that. So they just figure, let's make it a double feature kind of thing, Sweet Fest and a movie.
Yeah.
And so we try to, you know, do movies that would fit well with Sweet Fest and, you know...
And there's a Fresno tie-in with Dr. Strangelove. Writer is from Fresno, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Something. I have no idea.
I believe the...
That sounds good to
the
me.
The writer is from Fresno.
Wow. Okay, there you go.
We'll look that up just to make sure.
Or director.
I think Fresno Filmworks is trying to do a sweeted Dr. Strangelove also.
Okay. So, that would be great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else about this?
No.
Sweet Fest.
The coolest thing, though, I really like is how Fresno is the capital of Sweeting.
Yeah.
You guys have made Fresno capital of Sweeting. And like... How we
I
have
give it up.
So that just kind of automatically makes us the most educated Swede Fest goers.
Yeah.
Like how have you noticed you're like the fan, the people that come, how they get, you know, how have they become more educated on like what makes the Swede work and like getting the Swede jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the entries we've received have improved over the years, for sure.
Yeah, people have stepped their game up. I think it's because, you know, in part because they see other people's stuff and they're like, man, I want to do some shit like that.
Yeah, that's the thing about Sweet Fest is you walk away wanting to make one. You're right. Everything we hear people talk about in the lobby afterwards is like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that and oh, this would be great.
And that's one of the reasons we've done it twice a year because we want that kind of enthusiasm to kind of, you know, easily roll over to the next one. And some, you know, it does. You know, it's
not with us here.
No, still waiting for you guys.
Josh has done it.
But without it, I've done it in the past.
We're talking about Fresno being the Swede capital. That evil Will Albritton stole
it. Stole it.
Started his own in Tampa Bay.
In Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's what Josh was in a suite with Will.
How's that going?
They're still doing it. Yeah, I think they're on like Swede Fest 6 now in Tampa Bay, which is really good.
And then
Palm Beach is on like number 2 or 3.
Yeah, and we recently had a conversation with somebody from the UK
there was like a standalone one in like Bristol in England they did like a one-off and then they did a one-off in the like this little town in New Hampshire also but I think the main ones that have been going are in Florida
we just got an email from a college in the UK that they're interested in possibly starting one up over there. So, you know,
get them to fly you there.
Yeah.
And tell them all about it. I will tell you all about organizing Sweet Fest.
I'm still waiting for Will to offer us a ticket to Florida. That'd be good enough for me.
If you come down. Okay. Well, are there other things, Mike, that we have to talk about before we sort of sign off for the evening?
No. Yeah.
No, that's it.
Are you excited about the Cosmopolitan moving to Cellon Arena parking lot, or is that a bummer?
I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's
they're not
be
too
nice.
Happy about it, though, right?
Are they not happy about it?
I thought he sounded okay with it.
Really?
I mean, just as long as he doesn't lose any money on the deal,
right?
You know, I mean, I don't think he should either.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But no, I think it's a good thing. Money. I mean, it's always so crowded. I had lunch there today, and it was just packed. I had to wait in that huge line.
Right.
I think now they'll be able to build a restaurant that can maybe handle the big crowds.
Right, the way that they want it to be
done. That would be kind of cool, like people, whatever, you know, the circus or just people, performers coming to Selland can just go over there and eat right there.
Exactly.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, so people who like leave for a show or something from Saroyan aren't going to get in their car and drive to North Fresno to have dinner.
Right.
They can walk over to Cosmo.
I mean, that is definitely will be a better location, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because where they're at now is sort of out of the way. I mean,
well, they're not going to get all the adult bookstore foot traffic.
You can't go eat your sandwich or read your sandwich and eat your porn anyway. That's the second cross streets location.
Oh, man. We didn't even talk about cross streets.
We don't have to talk about cross streets.
I will bet you get regular people going, what's going on with cross streets?
Dude, we probably get more questions about cross streets than Sweet Fest or anything.
So let's talk.
I have a great intersection by my house.
Although they always say, man, I love Crossroads. It's so good.
Right.
What?
I thought that's...
It's not a Clapton album.
So Cross Streets was a thing that you did.
Pretty much.
Fresno Cross Streets. You said, look at this.
It was the first Fresno web video series, no? Consistent web video series.
Go to YouTube and search Fresno and G Street, and you'll see.
It was genius also, by the way.
It was genius.
I guess so. The last thing, one thing that I wanted to talk about, because it just was announced the other day, is this new nightclub, dance club going in at Granite Park in the old Cabo Wabo.
Cabo Wabo!
Yeah.
How many things have been tried to exist
there? Number
six?
I believe
six.
It might be six or seven.
Wow. Don't people learn?
Club Imperio, I believe that it's called, something like that.
It's Italian.
Yeah. And it's going to be
Italians, huh? All right.
It's going to be, you know, a dance club.
The Napolitano brothers can go.
But with better...
Sounds like a Batman villain secret lair or something. Club Imperio.
Yeah, it's a front.
It might be. So the question is, will it last? We'll go around the table. Will it last? Rocky?
No, it's not going to last. I hope I'm wrong, but...
What do you give it?
Maybe best bet, I'd say maybe to the end of summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brian, will it last?
I've got to go with no. I mean, come on, right? It's not going to last.
Mike.
It's no. I mean, the answer is obviously no. It's just a date. Like, I would say the fall. It's done by fall.
What would it take to... I mean, is it just...
Has there ever been a dance club that just...
Well,
just
so that... Yeah, that's my question.
Moved on.
Is it the dance club... is that just not a business model that works here, or is it that whole complex has been cursed?
Yeah, that's what
from
it's
the.
Just, it's the
know.
Business owner.
Yeah,
shady
I don't know
business.
If it's the complex necessarily, but
yeah, it's just. It seems like there's always a shit ton of people there. The other clubs, there's always fucking cars. It's not because it was empty. It's not like they weren't doing business.
Right.
It was because there was some shady shit going on behind. Yeah. You know,
there's always some sort of partner drama.
Some that's what it always comes down to.
Well, and I think the story that I read, like this guy was actually a partner in one of the other places that had been there before and had to split, and now he's come back.
He's learned his ways,
you know, or something. So
that can't bode well.
I wish them luck.
Yeah. Well, and it makes me. It's so sad because I do. So when the public house was there, I was like, this is the greatest. I will go there all the time, and I went to public house several times. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think if it was still around with the explosion of craft beer, I think that place would still be doing well. I think that that whole area could be doing much better. The whole Cabo Wabo, I was excited. I think that sort of venue that could work in Fresno, we don't have anything really like it.
Yeah. Did you go there when it was Cabo Wabo?
No.
Yeah,
was that what? Would there was like a weekend, right? I mean, how long?
Was it just?
No, it was longer than that.
Oh, was it?
Okay. It was very short.
I mean, it wasn't like I had a whole lot of opportunity.
No. There wasn't too many shows.
I'm wondering who Club Imperio is going to come in for who they're going to bring in for their opening. I wonder if Kim Kardashian's.
That's
who would they bring? Lindsay Lohan.
They said they were trying to get. Better DJs, bigger stars, better DJs.
Bigger stars?
Stars.
Wow.
Bigger act, bigger. I think
yeah,
they
I heard
said
the same
star.
Thing. Bigger yeah. acts, yeah.
yeah. Bigger, yeah. yeah. So I don't know what that means, especially in terms of like dance club.
Right now, you have unlimited budget. Who do you think who would you get into that club
who
to try to draw in people?
Would I get in? Mm. See, I have no idea because I don't know, like who Beyonce. Yeah. I would just
okay, not unlimited budget then.
unlimited all right, pull budget. It back. Come on. All right. I get crazy.
I mean, is there a reality
she doesn't
show
have to like. She doesn't have
right
to
now?
Act or you know perform. Just she just up. Has to show up and you know hang out. Let's
Bieber?
See, reality.
No.
Yeah,
we get, well, see, no, I think that speaks to the business model. It's just not gonna. That's not gonna work.
Yeah.
You know, try something different.
Bring How in many like people Steve Wozniak and get like the nerd crowd out there or something.
that's genius.
A nerd club.
Nerd club. Oh, nerd.
What even
call
is
it,
that?
Call it the computer
Dork
club. Oh fuck, dude. Trademark that shit.
The AV club.
AV club.
Yeah. But that would be.
Oh, yeah. I'm there.
What does that even entail?
But that's just Heroes.
Registered trademark. Yeah.
Heroes is already there.
Right.
If you would just start putting dance music, comic book shop.
I would fucking go back.
Yeah. Nah. Dave. Yeah. Dave,
bring me back.
Revamp it. Make it a club.
Well, so we all agree that it's probably not going to do.
No. But I think that's sort of the club model is like make your money and then change it over.
Right. Then
either
disappear.
Close it or change it over.
Yeah. Right.
It's not like a silver dollar that just goes there forever, you know.
Right.
But not the downtown one.
Right.
That one moves to Boise, but
yeah. That one's out. And now we have what?
Go to Boise. You can visit Boise.
Outland. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting close to the time in the podcast where we do our plugs. We didn't have a band of the...
Nah.
But we don't need to.
This is our band right here.
Yeah, these guys. Rock
Dumb
stars.
Drums. Cool Drum. Cool Drum.
We didn't talk about the Fulton Mall.
Oh.
Nah, that's okay.
The Fulton Mall.
Actually, we did.
We could still say the Fulton Mall.
Because Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Yeah,
it was filmed right there.
All right, we're good.
On the Fulton Mall.
I know. Rocky's pro traffic.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm not sure.
I'm a flip flopper, I guess. Yeah.
See, I think you're all in line. You're
flip floppers too.
Whatever happens, I'm going to be okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that the people who are trying to sue do not. Get the money in which to do that because I think
yeah
that's
I think at
be,
this point it's a foregone conclusion you know it's gonna happen you know
and
you're
I
just
kinda,
delaying the inevitable right. with a lawsuit
and wasting money in people's time and we just don't need it so let's all move on
sure
as sad as that might be
yeah no I think it's Change. Time to do something I don't know what that something is but something yeah, something right. other than yes. just what has been happening
that is definitely everyone can agree on yeah. something needs to happen
yes traffic
and that's not too
cars.
It's not to besmirch the what's going on now
sure,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
new
no,
events
yeah, yeah,
and,
right,
and
right.
things like
yeah.
that that's great that should continue but you know
all right well, I think it's time to plug it up. Plug it up. Plug it up. Plug. Can we get a sample of the beginning of Carrie that we'll just throw in there?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, well. this is the point in the show where we go around and we plug the things that we have coming up. You guys have already done that, but do it again. Maybe you have other things that you want to plug. I know you all are involved in other things as well. If you are, feel free to plug anything, whatever you have going on.
Well, we got Sweet Fest coming up May 17th, free all ages, dumbdrum.com. You can check out all our videos. Fresno Filmworks has the...
Yeah. Rocky actually joined the board of Fresno Filmworks
wow.
recently.
Yeah.
All
right.
Fancy.
Your first... we broke your nonprofit cherry.
It is true.
First nonprofit board.
I held on to that cherry
yeah,
for so long.
Creative Fresno next year.
I'm expecting some good shit coming out.
I think I think it's pretty exciting. We're going to...
If I don't see cool it, stuff. I'm going to be coming out.
It'll be his fault.
Yeah, it will be my fault. Blame it on me.
I'll be like, I was expecting...
Why all these French films, Rocky?
Suckers.
I love French films. All right, anything?
CMAC.
Oh, okay.
TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. CMAC is a public access TV station where you can learn how to make TV shows and cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're
so
in the old Met Museum building, reviving an old, formerly vacant building.
It's
in downtown.
It's a cool place. They have lots. If you are interested in this stuff, filmmaking, TV production, that kind of thing, and you say to yourself, "I'd like to do this, but I just don't have the resources myself." CMAQ, I think, is something that you should look into.
Definitely.
It's affordable. You know, it's there for. It's a great place. How much is it for?
For memberships, $50 a year.
Yeah.
And if you're a student, it's $25 a year. So.
And the amount, the equipment that you have and the training that's available from what I have seen is totally top-notch, and you can go in there and really produce some quality kind of stuff and also get experience from what I've seen too, right? Terms of being on crews, learning how to use the equipment and then taking that out and doing other things with it if you want.
Yeah, if you don't have an idea for a TV show or something you want to produce, there's lots of opportunities to volunteer on other people's productions. There's stuff going on all the time. It's pretty fun.
There you go.
So you would one day you would get so skilled that one day you might be telling Kopi which camera to look into.
You might. Yeah. Yes.
I don't have to tell Kopi. Yeah. Kopi knows. Kopi he can knows look before you and go look red.
That would
red
be the biggest
red
mistake some rookie director would make. All right, Kopi, camera two. He's like, stop. You do not tell Kopi what camera to look into. Kopi knows what camera to look into. Fire. Kopi crush.
That's when his hairpiece comes alive and attacks you.
I often
hairpiece, get him!
I often forget that he has a hairpiece.
Yeah. It's been a while, yeah.
It's a pretty nice one.
Kopi's hair, please.
I want to see an old picture of him. I don't remember what he used to look like.
No, wait. I want to ask a question because you guys have been on Great Day with Kopi, right? Wow. Josh has been on Great Day with Kopi. Whenever Josh sees... Josh has met Kopi several times.
Several times. Many times.
Josh is a media celebrity. Quote, unquote.
Right.
Josh is a known media celebrity, just like Kopi. So you'd think they'd be like,
let's be fair.
Not Kopi's. Nobody's on Kopi's level. Right, no. But, you know, there should be like a, you know, like
a camaraderie.
Right, what's up, Josh? Right, right. Every time, Kopi, it's like the first time he's ever met Josh.
You don't feel bad.
No.
Every single time we go on there, he tells me I look like one of David Letterman's writers. Yeah. I'm like, which one? He never knows his name. He just knows that I look like him.
How does he know? Like, why does he know?
Does he even know what David Letterman's writers look like?
I don't know.
He knows one guy over the years, and he's just like, yeah, he just uses it.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Because I was getting a little worried for a while. I was like, Kopi.
He doesn't know who the fuck we are.
Kopi, man. I think that he just meets so many people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're Kopi, you can't try to remember everyone. No. Because
it's
like
a goldfish. It's just, you know, it's gone in an instant.
He plays it off well anyway.
Yeah, no, he's quite the... he's an actor, right? He can feign interest, like, "Oh shit, what's going on, food?" Like,
and afterwards, you're gone. Just like, "I think Kopi likes me."
Yeah, I think we're going to fucking hang out.
Have you seen that episode of the Incredible Hulk that he's in?
No,
he's in the TV series.
The old TV series,
Incredible
Hulk.
Nice.
Yeah, you could see
Perfect
it online.
Strangers was Perfect Strangers also? I think
on his
possibly.
I know Beverly Hills Cop 2.
He's a bartender. He's a bartender. Yeah.
Wow. And then I think that's when Andy Murphy's like, I can get blown for $7.
To Kopi?
To Kopi?
I think so. Kopi's like, you know,
he's like, have a great day.
As he goes down.
That's where the great day idea for Great Day came about.
Mike, you wanna plug some stuff?
Dorktown Network.
Dorktown Network of we've got
Dorktown Podcast.
Dorktown, that's the original.
We've got the Perfect Pour.
Perfect Pour.
But now you've been wanting a new podcast.
We did this just for you, Josh. I'm so excited.
Even though it's not anything you like.
Oh.
We did it just for you.
Drum roll.
Sounds good.
It's called Get Off My Podcast. The Harrison Ford Podcast.
Whoa.
Wow.
It is a Harrison Ford companion podcast. We are going through every beat of Harrison Ford's career. Every episode is a beat of Harrison Ford's career. The first two episodes are out.
Who is this podcast? You?
Me and Trent, my cousin Trent.
Okay.
Who's like a bigger Harrison Ford nerd than I am.
Okay.
I thought you could say it's like you and your dog. Or something.
Yeah, yeah, me and my dog.
Me and
we talk about Harrison
Ford. Me and my Harrison
Ford. Isn't Harrison great?
He's like, okay, so go on. This is like intriguing.
Got to be the top Harrison Ford podcast on the internet,
the
right?
Only one. Okay. There is one other one that's like a it's like a play. It's like a radio play that involves Harrison.
Oh, you should do that every week. Yeah. You have Harrison Ford on every week. Yeah. Just have someone come
on. He's not on it. Yeah. That's there you go. That's the reference. Get off my podcast. And the first two episodes, we did everything before American Graffiti, all the stuff that Harrison did before. We broke everything he did before that. Second episode, we did American Graffiti and everything he did before Star Wars. So now we're on Star Wars. We're about to record the Star Wars episode.
See, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
Well, yeah, one day I'll end. Yeah. But
he's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah, there's a lot to get to. There's a lot to get to.
So it's one movie per episode?
Yeah, pretty much. Now, once we get to Empire Strikes Back, because he had like a weird section between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, where like he got some starring roles, but they didn't
do so well.
But anyway, but yeah.
I never knew.
Yeah, one day, I think we'll time it to right about episode 7's release.
Let me know when you do the Hollywood Homicide episode.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Josh Hartnett.
Oh, yeah.
What a dreamboat. Such a terrible movie.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
What is the worst Harrison Ford movie?
I don't know. That might be it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wait, I haven't rewatched
Anchorman 2, maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't rewatched Cisco Kid in 20 years, so I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
I'm going to have to watch it now.
That's a very obscure...
That's what a podcasting's all about, niche.
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, right.
See?
I mean...
It's working.
If I can't get nerds involved, then yeah, we're in trouble.
Right. All right. Okay, so I will plug my band. It'll go back. We have a couple shows coming up. Two really good shows, actually. Next Thursday... at Audie's, this band American Sharks is coming in from Austin, Texas, and they're like my favorite band right now in existence.
Nice.
Wow. So that's going
to
be a good show.
You get to play the show with them.
I know. That's excited.
They better not pull that hot shot, like they just wait in their van until all the other bands have played.
Right. That's probably what they'll do. No. They played like 2 years ago, maybe now, with their friends with Strange Vine. They play with Strange Vine and Light Thieves, and it was a kind of a weird lineup because they're nothing like stylistically not a lot like Strange Vine. But it was a great show, and I fell in love with them, and so they're coming back, and I'm very excited. So that's Thursday, and then Friday we're playing at Fulton 55 with Angry Samoans, who are like original 1980s Los Angeles or Southern California hardcore punk, skate punk, surf punk guys. So that'll be a good show as well.
Do they have any actual Samoans in their band?
I think it's a bunch of white dudes.
Are they at least angry?
Are they actually angry? Yeah.
All right. Then
so I'll plug that. And then obviously my day job at the Fresno Bee, fresnobeehive.com. I have my Friday column and other things that you can check out online.
And in the actual paper.
And in the paper.
It's this machine. You put money in it and you pull it down.
I don't think anyone does that anymore.
I did that recently.
Okay. Hey, see?
So, all right.
I go to the dollar store to buy my Fresno Bee.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Sunday because it's a dollar.
Right.
They make it a dollar?
Yeah.
Well, genius.
And how they get away with that?
Yeah, I wonder how they do that.
Yeah, it's probably bulk. They probably, you know.
they just eat it.
Well, right. No, because look, here's the thing. Like, I think that the Fresno Bee wants to have their subscription numbers as high as possible. So if they have to give a few papers out at a less rate, you know, they're going to do it because it's good.
It helps the advertising.
So, yeah. Right.
You mentioned eating it. Maybe that's a good idea. Print it on something edible, like a cracker of some sort. That could work. I think I just saved the
Cool Ranch Fresno Bee edition.
Just saved the print industry.
That was a great article, Josh. Even better
now. I like to eat
it. It tastes so good.
Josh tastes so good.
And then, obviously, Creative Fresno, I'll plug that as well. And again, make a plug for our 10-year anniversary party at Gazebo Gardens on the 22nd.
But you got to be a member, though, right?
No, I believe for this, it's oh. Don't have to be a member at all.
Oh, I'm
it's
not going.
Everyone celebrates.
I'm not going to mix. Year. I'm not going to mix with regular.
But Fresnans. You can become a member.
The creative class.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good idea. You know, it's $20 a year, and you get all sorts of benefits. And then you know you're helping creative stuff happen. So.
Creative Fresnans is awesome.
There it is. If there isn't anything else,
at flowing with
flowing
pod.
With pod
on Twitter
is where you can find us.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, and then you know,
Fresnan at gmail.com if you want to complain about something.
Yeah, do we haven't ever gotten any?
No,
yeah,
I'll send some this week.
Yeah,
hey. On the show, you guys really suck. Well, thank you guys so much for being on and looking.
Thank you for having us. Thanks, man.
You know, always happy. I said it in the beginning, and it's true. You are two of my favorite Fresnans, just because I really like the attitude. And sort of the creative spirit that you bring to town, and your willingness to share that with others, and I think it
is safe. Oh, shucks. Oh, you're awesome.
I am just, nice, I am just nice saying man. That. But,
nice guy.
Anyway, so thank you for coming on, and everyone should get out to the Sweet Fest. In the meantime, we will be back in who knows how long.
Sweet Fest 14 will be in November. So.
Yeah, that'll be our next episode.
So you may hear about hopefully before November, but... That is all. Thank you for listening. And we will leave you with this. Beautiful.